IVM.
Folks, welcome to Paita Paisa. I'm your host, Anubhav Gupta, B50 on Twitter, and my guest today is Vinay Bansal, founder and CEO, Inflection Point Venture. We're going to talk about startups surviving the post-pandemic world. Important topic, guys. Vinay, welcome to Paita Paisa. Thank you so much for joining us today. Let's start with a brief intro to Inflection Point Venture, or IPV.
Thanks a lot, Anupam, for having me. You have a very energetic voice, puts energy in me as well. About myself, I'm a chartered accountant, company secretary by profession, and worked with Unilever about 10 years with GE globally, worked with a startup called Wildcraft, and then a private equity firm called TPG. As for Inflection Point Ventures, this is an angel investing firm set up for any regular investor to find great startup investments and for any founder to raise funding quickly, yet have a lot of support post-funding as well. So yeah, that's a brief about Inflection Point Ventures.
And CA, ICWA, GE, HUL, and TPG, all of this. Did I get that right?
That's right. These are very diverse experiences, yes.
Yeah. I mean, so what was it that made you start this firm and that also for startups? I get that you work for a startup, but the TPG is pretty huge. So what exactly was your thought process when you started IPV?
Sure. So having been an investor myself into startups 10 plus years, I saw the pain of founders very closely, you know, their ups and downs, the challenges, etc. And then being an investor, I saw a lot of issues from the investing side as well, which none of the existing players in the ecosystem were able to solve effectively. And I thought this requires a lot of professional work and a very professional setup to solve for things. So the idea was that for founders, they should be able to raise money quickly without too much of bandwidth and without meeting hundreds of investors. While for investors, give them great startups, a very solid and a very smooth process while using and helping them grow along with the startups. So our motto at IPV is everyone can grow with startups.
Interesting. So where were the, this is really, you know, it's quite interesting. So where were the problem areas that you found which you could address?
Sure. I would say three angles. Let's start with investors first, right? As angel investors, we are not able to, you know, find great businesses to invest in. Even if we find, investors don't have the time to evaluate every aspect of a business or do a deep due diligence. Second, they don't know how to evaluate founders. Third, they don't know how to value a firm. You know, if a founder puts a value of a 20 crore or a 40 crore, which of these numbers is right? Or is there something in between, right? And that's why many professional investors or professionals never entered the startup investing space, which was one like me, you know, over the last 10 years. Now let's look at the second aspect, right, which is the startups. Now what you would see is that a founder spends more than 50% of his time just trying to raise funding. You know, he meets hundreds of investors. He does a 2-hour meeting for a 2.5 lakh check and so on and so forth. You know, he's not able to spend time on building the business. He's just kind of running around trying to get funding. The third piece is, you know, what happens after funding? Most other investors and platforms do not spend enough time in helping the startups grow. And that's where most of the failure occurs. So we spend a ton of time as a group post-investments. You know, we help the startups get business. We help them get mentors. We help them hire the right talent. We help them connect to the right VCs and in general, make them successful. This helps our investors be successful as well. And that is, I think, the secret sauce for us to give great returns to investors and great success to our founders that we work with.
Sure. Got it. So, and what's been your experience so far, right? Because it's been, 9 months since the pandemic began. Of course, as we sit here somewhere in December, it looks like the lockdown is over, but the pandemic is on. And a lot of people have probably gotten back to their business wherever that's even possible. So I want to start with the specific trends that you're seeing on funding and just walk us through how this entire thing has panned out so far, in the sense that how did it begin? How did it go? Where is it now? What were the difficulties? And where things stand today? Just a kind of a very broad overview of what you've seen so far.
Sure. I think you've yourself defined the problem very well, Anupam. I think you said, how did it begin? How did it pan out? And where is it today, right? So let me cut my answer into three parts. Last about 9 months, right? Started in March and we are sitting in December. Our first 3 months were bad, really, really bad. Everyone was shocked. Nobody knew what hit them. Lockdown happened all of a sudden. Shops went shut. A lot of the businesses came down from a very significant revenue down to zero, right? At that point in time, nobody knew what's going to happen, how long it's going to last, what is future looking like. You know, stock market crashed from about a 43,000 in Sensex to about 25, 26,000, you know, historic. That point in time, nobody was investing. Everyone just shut it down and said, we don't know where it's going and we don't want to invest unless some clarity emerges. So that was the shock part, the first 3 months. But of course, IPV acted very differently in those 3 months as well. Then the next phase was acceptance. Okay, this is how the new normal is going to be. Let's start, you know, bracing it. Let's start working from home. Let's start getting on Zoom. Let's start doing online. And things started to improve a little bit while the pandemic continued to worsen. Because that's where the real hit of the pandemic came. Shops were still shut. Businesses were still, you know, bleeding heavily. But some smart investors started to look at great businesses. What happened here is valuations started to come down dramatically. You know, M&A started to happen. You know, Reliance bought over, let's say, the big bazaars of the world or the future retails of the world. A few other great investors pulled in money to find great deals. And IPV also played along even at this time, you know, where we continue to fund some really solid founders running great businesses, which we knew will thrive, survive, and bloom once the pandemic is over. The third stage is over the last couple of months when things have started to open up. You know, even though the numbers are going up, vaccine has not come in. You know, businesses have started realizing that they need to go back to work. Investors are opening up their checks. I think there are still a few investors who have not yet invested in the last 9 months in VC firms. But most other investors have started opening up. Some large investors have put in money into Reliance, you know, like TPG or General Atlantic and, you know, a few others like KKR. Large amount of checks got cut. And I think now that the vaccine has been announced with about 90% efficacy rate, things will open up a little bit faster over the next 3 to 4 months. We expect investing also to come back to normal shape. So that's kind of overall thing. Let me know if you want some more specific examples. Happy to cover those as well.
Let's go into that, actually. That was going to be my next question. Because back in March, April, May, like you said, when things were really bad, we were expecting a lot of bad news to come out, a lot of startups to shut down. And thankfully, at least I haven't heard of any major disastrous news. That is the first thing. Second thing, we were told that valuations will go for a toss and, you know, that will again have some kind of effect. I don't know whether that's happened. Maybe you can give us a clue on that. And third, actually, we can just start this off right now with specific examples, right? I mean, what we know so far was that education was the hottest sector, which was attracting, you know, funding where no other startups in any other space were getting anything at all. So in your view, tell us about, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly. Which are the sectors that were really badly hit, you know, the ugly. Then maybe move to the bad, you know, for whom things were bad at that point of time, but they've gotten better. And finally, anything that's, you know, that's good. So and like you said, feel free to give any examples that you think are relevant to this discussion.
Sure. So, you know, given the nature of the pandemic, anything that required you to go out or meet people was badly hit, you know, as simple, right? Now, which were these businesses? You know, let's look at retail. Many of the malls shut down. The footfall went down dramatically, almost down to zero. Apparel, you know, which you wear when you go out, right? Got very badly hit. So, you know, many of the apparel brands we saw practically came down to zero in the first few months. Then, you know, other places where you go out and meet people is sports. you know, group sports got impacted. You saw IPL had to be done in Dubai, and any stuff around sports got badly impacted. You know, the sports gear, the sports booking facilities, the players who would help you get to sports grounds, etc. You know, got impacted. Travel got impacted. You know, as you know, we were not doing any air travel, train travel, bus travel, etc. So every industry around that got impacted. You know, if you were making, let's say, a backpack, right, that got impacted. If you were making a suitcase, if you're making, you know, or you were, if you were in a travel booking space, you know, let's say either something like a Make My Trip, or cinemas, you know, something like a Book My Show. So all of these businesses actually got badly impacted and, you know, came down to zero. So that was the ugly and the bad part, right? But there were a lot of silver linings also. You know, everything related to tech and health picked up. You know, for example, and even essential grocery delivery picked up because everybody wanted these essentials delivered at home. And you see, you know, now Big Basket in talks with Tata's getting, you know, acquired. We could see, you know, funding of some of the fintech players. You know, I would say during this time, Razorpay achieved a unicorn status, right? Then, you know, health tech. We could see a lot of health tech players where online consultation became a lot more popular, where doctors were not very willing to sign or write digital, I would say, prescriptions. A lot of the digital prescriptions picked up. A lot of the online consultations picked up where, you know, you could never imagine a doctor willing to do an online consultation. You know, Practo practically did a 5x to 10x consultations rate within a month, right? So health tech picked up. Then, you know, your OTT players picked up. You know, Netflix. And for example, some of the IPV's investments like Touch, you know, which played a very crucial role in even IPL of this year. You know, those investments just went 3x, 5x pretty quickly. Then businesses in supply chain, you know, IoT businesses. You know, we have two or three investments there, like Asuk, which helps people manage supply chain trucks in and out without physically meeting or tracking physical interaction, you know, or startup like Drawer, and so on. So I would say if there was a bad and an ugly side, there was a good side as well, and there were silver linings. And those founders who stayed true to their mission and acted swiftly actually, you know, came out shining even in this time. Maybe a couple more examples if you want. You know, we invested in Milk Basket, you know, which delivers grocery. We invested in Crow Farm, and so on and so forth.
Very interesting. Any general feel from the startup industry in this 9 months that probably, you know, and sorry to use a cliche, that is the worst over and people are now getting back to business, and whether now things in general, they're looking more optimistic because, you know, every once in a month or twice, maybe you hear of places shutting down, people looking out for jobs, and there are certain sectors outside of startups, by the way. Yeah. Which have been quite brutal, you know, the media industry, for example. So what does it feel within the startup industry as of?
See, I think it depends upon how you look at it, right? I am personally an eternal optimist. And when you're an optimist, you can see the good side of the bad side, right? You can see silver linings, you know, out there, even in a bad situation. So if you can emotionally detach yourself from the situation, see it objectively, you know, you can find some good stuff out there as well. So the way I will put it is those founders who have decided to be decisive, decided to continue to act and continue to look for opportunities, they are finding those opportunities. Similarly, those investors who have decided to act rationally and to be able to and continually find great founders, they have been successful as well. And then there's the other lot, right? Okay, business is bad, the customers are not there, and therefore nothing can be done. Yes, those guys will not do anything. But the third bucket is interesting, wherein business is bad, but the founders are great. What are they doing? They are going back, cutting cost. they are going back, refining their product. They are going back, fixing those things which they didn't get the time to fix. They are going back, conserving cash. They are going back, you know, building their right teams and talent, right? So that's, I think, is my excitement where these guys will land post the pandemic is over. You know, some of the best companies globally have been formed around recessions or great disasters, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, Apple came out of 2007-2008, you know, recession. Alibaba was formed post SARS, you know, pandemic in Southeast Asia, right, where online picked up. You know, and you can name many such companies which actually were born out of these tough situations. And I believe that's going to be the case this time also. Over the next 4 or 5 years, you are going to see some great outliers doing some great stuff that have been born during this time.
Fantastic. So folks, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on the other side of this break. We're going to talk about the good stuff. You know, how has IPV supported the startups, founders? Some good stories out there, hopefully, that we can, you know, we can probably give you some ideas out there how to survive or rather probably now start thriving from this post-pandemic world. Don't get away. We'll be right back. My guest, Vinay Bansal, founder and CEO at Inflection Point Venture. And welcome back to this episode of Paisa Vaisa. My guest, Vinay Bansal, founder and CEO at Inflection Point Venture. In the first part of this episode, we spoke about how the startup scene, the funding scene has panned out in this pandemic world. And of course, now that things are actually, hopefully, touch wood, getting better, what to expect going forward. So, okay, Vinay, tell our listeners some good news, some success story that you nurtured, that you helped, that you handled throughout these last 8 to 9 months. Just, you know, from your own experience, what worked and how things improved for your investing company, I mean, for investee companies.
Sure. No, I think one is, as I said, you know, if you continue to look on the positive side and you're optimistic, you'll find those positive opportunities as well. So I would say we invested in a couple of startups. And during this time, since they were the need of the hour, we were able to turn them around. They grew significantly and we helped them scale up and become profitable and sustainable. Other places, we helped cut their cost, conserve cash, and extend their runway. Few others, what we did is we helped them connect with more customers. You know, something like a drawer, which helps, you know, in maintaining physical distance. We helped them connect to a lot of CHROs and businesses to be able to serve them and therefore, you know, sustain this pandemic. Others, we helped them, you know, get merged or get, you know, partner with a few other organizations to sustain and survive while having access to cash chests. So I would say we did apply these 3 or 4 strategies wherever, whichever was relevant. But the key was being proactive and identifying these a lot earlier, practically within the first 15 days of lockdown, is when we identified these strategies for these startups and executed them well. And very proud to say that during this pandemic, not a single startup funded by Inflection Point Ventures went down. Everybody survived. Everybody is up and running. There are a few wounds which we need to heal and support. But yeah, it's been a great partnership and a great learning for us.
That's good to know. You know that your if I could call it family, has done well. Anything on the investor side? Did you manage to get any good deals or anything? Any feedback from them as to, you know, how things have shaped so far in these 9 months?
Sure. I think it's been pretty, I would say, pretty impressive and probably a turnaround time for us. We continued to look for great businesses that were great before the pandemic and therefore will be great post the pandemic and still did well during the pandemic, right? Having seen a black swan event, if these businesses can survive and all if they needed was cash, we went in and put in a loads of cash there. I think during this pandemic at IPV, in the last 9 months, funded more than 30 deals. And many of them were $1 million, $2 million checks. And I think the results and the benefits of these will be visible to our investors not too far out. You know, they will be visible in the next 3-6 months itself. So I think our strategy of being more aggressive, being able to find great founders who were not getting funded elsewhere, and great businesses at a reasonable valuations, I think we made the most of this time, and we hope to continue to you know, keep the pace of finding good founders and great businesses going forward.
Wonderful, good to know that. You know, let's wrap things up on an even more positive note for our listeners. Probably, you know, there are people who are startup founders or employees or maybe even investors listening into this. Give us a laundry list. Give us maybe a checklist. Give us a list of tips that startups, founders, all of, you know, that part of the ecosystem, what can they do to survive or probably even thrive now that we are at the, what let's, you know, see, that's the thing. I always kind of worry about being prematurely happy or prematurely optimistic, whereas you are optimistic that things go back to normal next year.
Sure.
What would be your laundry list, checklist or whatever?
So let me take, you know, top seven, I guess. You know, one is it's better to sweat in peace than bleed in war, which means even during good times, stay disciplined, you know, build a great product and continue to work out, you know, be strong. Number two is build great products. Think Apple, you know, even during the last recession. Great products will stand the test of time. They don't need much marketing dollars. They don't need much advertising dollars. If the product is great and you are low on cash, it will still survive and sell. You really may not need to spend too much marketing dollars behind. Number three, conserve cash. You know, during tough times, cash is your lifeline. If it goes out, then, you know, the product or the business may never see future. So if you can cut costs, increase revenue, get cash from investors or get cash from customers, do that. If you want to draw down the lines from the banks, do that. Fourth, stay disciplined. If you have cash, doesn't mean it's there to spend. Spend where it's important. And it's like running your house. If you have extra cash, put it in savings. You really don't need to go out and splurge on, you know, exquisites or luxury and you know, holidays. Discipline is the name of the game, and I think is even more important during this time where you need to be very sharp about your priorities. And the next one linked to this is stay focused. I saw many founders trying to jump onto the COVID as an opportunity by leaving what they were doing already. Well, you know, we saw founders just shutting down their existing line of business, which was good, and trying to do something new in COVID, thinking that it's a great opportunity. That's a very short-sighted approach. COVID will last 3, 6, 9 months or a year, and then, you know, things will not be normalized. Now, 1 year is not good enough to build businesses. Unless you are already in that business and COVID gave you a tailwind, you know, you would have lost your old business as well as not being able to build a new business. So, you know, focus is very, very critical. Next would be raise cash and build a long runway. Even if, you know, you have to haggle a little bit on the valuations and give up on the valuations, if cash is the key to your survival, it's important to survive first. You know, do not spend too much time with the investors, you know, haggling small terms in the SHA or, you know, or a little bit of valuation. Get cash if that's most important for you. It will pay itself out in the long term. Last, investors are human too. You know, treat them like people. They also may have egos. They also may have their own fears, right? So if you do not respect the investors who put in their hard-earned money with you, you know, you won't get their time, money, or energy in the future as well. So build credibility for yourself. Build good network. By being trustworthy, honest, and you know, working with high integrity. So I would say these are my top seven. You know, enough to keep you know, our founders and startup entrepreneurs to, you know, to stay the course well.
I like the sound of that. It's got a lot of positivity. Again, I use the word positivity in its actual meaning. Where can our listeners reach out to you, Vinay? Where can they, you know, if they want to know more about IPV, should they go to your website? What should they do? Is there any communication? Anything that you guys put out so that our listeners can find out more about you?
Absolutely. I mean, they can, of course, visit our website, ipventures.in. We have our own LinkedIn page. You can search for Inflection Point Ventures, where we post our activity practically every other day. As we democratize angel investing, we are looking at any professional being able to invest, and we are looking at any great founder to be able to find funding without having connections or without finding a lead investor or a syndicate lead, etc. Leave that work to us and we'll get it done. Everything happens through our website and in a very streamlined, time-bound manner. So I would say, our LinkedIn page or our website, ipventures.in, is a great place to start. If you want to write to me at ceo@ipventures.in.
Wonderful. Folks, you heard the email address, you heard the website, you heard the LinkedIn page. Reach out to Vinay if you have any questions on the content of this podcast. Vinay, that's a wrap on this episode. Thank you so much, Vinay. Folks, that's a wrap. Vinay Bansal, founder and CEO, Inflection Point Ventures. Thank you so much for doing this for our listeners, Vinay.
Thanks a lot, Anupam, for having me. It was great chatting with you.
Thank you. And listeners, if you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM Network. You can listen to us on the IVM Podcast app or ivmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on our social media. We are IVM Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Reach out to me, MP50 on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening to Paisa Vaisa.
No material on the show should be considered as financial advice. The material on the show is for informational purposes only. Please consult a financial advisor before taking any investment decision.